Chapter 2, in Laptopia. "No grown-ups, that's for sure," snarled Arundel's magic bow. He didn't oppose Florina, and even Carinia was allowed to join them. "That's it," he concluded, and started his calculations. Arundel was somehow glad to get rid of such an adult talk anyway. They asked her strange questions and wanted to know more than what you knew yourself. The bow kept on calculating. "Just a minute," he smiled, as if Arundel had said a word, at least not aloud. "Shall we do anything?" Carinia wanted to know. "Shall we inform Mum and Dad?" However, Arundel shook her head. "Won't be long anyway, just a few minutes." If she only had known. At last, the magic bow ended with his calculations. "Laptopia!" screamed the three of them. They grabbed each other's hands and disappeared fast, faster than their voices faded. And there they felt the gluey damp clouds just as Arundel had described them. They took great care not to sink and climbed up again and again. Busy as they were, they didn't notice what was going on. The battlement of the castle were close by this time, right underneath their position. When they realized, they let themselves slip down. In fact, two soldiers some kind of laptops controlled on their beat. Similarly equipped with the police forces, like the police forces Arundel was arrested by. She wondered whether they could inform the general. First, the watchman gave infiltration alarm. All doors were banged and shutters put up. The guards lowered their arms and clapped with their scissors hands. Arundel remembered these frightening instruments all too well. Now she knew what they were good for. Just as she decided to return back home, General Armilus jumped out of a hidden gate. Again he grabbed Arundel's hand and raised it towards his lips without touching. Arundel introduced her friends, and the general overdid once more as he banged his heels repeatedly while shouting excessively, meaningless. Florina and her little sister Carinia didn't know what this was all about and giggled, somehow bewildered. However, the general didn't seem to care much, really. "You wouldn't believe what a great honor, such an unexpected visit indeed. No, such a great honor. That I'm happy to experience. No, I never dreamed. I never was able to. Not in all my lifespan, as long as it might be." With an impatient gesture of his right, he waved away the laptop cops. They dropped their arms and scissor hands and stepped back on their beat. At last, they seemed to be under control because they continued their duty as if nothing had happened. "Please do come, my dear little ladies. Don't you mind this misunderstanding. They are not the brightest, even though they try hard and give their best." He shook his head while he followed them with his eyes. "May I take the lead, my ladies? His Majesty is already waiting." "No, what an honor that I was able to experience. Not in this lifespan, I dare say. Oh dear, my goodness." Therefore, he rushed on. The girls followed, curious as they were. However, they trusted him after all. Each of them thought by her. They understood themselves without words. in case of emergency, they could rely on the magic bow, they said to themselves, without considering the fact how easily they could be separated. Regal Highness Prince Watchalot, thundered General Armyless, and bowed in front of a huge throne, a tiny fat man, jumped up impatiently. The girls bowed as well and were introduced as the twinkling star maids of the advisor. My favorite commencing any minute, and my wife is waiting. She can't do without me, Prince Watchalot complained like a nasty child. His name is Program, smiled the general and shrugged. Anyway, what's most important has been said. What about a bite to eat? You must be hungry after your voyage. A Satan chair was brought in by two strong-looking servant artifacts, and Prince Watchalot was carefully put into the soft cushions. His very short arms and legs could be noticed by the girls and made them pity this poor little creature. Impatiently, Prince Watchalot made the servants go to rush on. Hurry up, you lazy, useless nothings! Rush, rush, my program! His TV set is just next door, the general explained and shook his head. The princess thought of TV didn't fit into the princely parlor. That's the reason why. General Armyless shrank his forehead, rather annoyed. Then he pulled himself back. Princess, so she does, avoids the public because of her situation. It is said that we are expecting regal new blood not far from now. It's going to become a boy, so the dynasty is assured. But let's not hand the cow into the cook's hands before the butcher did his job, as the saying goes. Ha ha. General, we are still children. You are not supposed to talk in front of us that way, the girls explained, blushing. Don't mind, you ladies, from child's mouth wisdom arouse. Don't argue on such bagatelles. And besides, don't you call us lady. We are children, and adults should behave properly. I'm no lady, is that clear? Exclaimed Corinna, quite definite, and the general nodded, irritated but firm. He seemed to have understood. The little bite to eat they better had skipped. The synthetic stuff tasted even worse than it looked. At least Arundel got a chance to ask for Loppy. Your Loppy, as you call it, is the sensation amongst the artifacts. They arranged a special exhibition only to present it properly in the Museum for Posthumane Forms of Life. The artifacts come by thousands, and we would risk riots if we hijacked your little Loppy, I'm afraid. Even though you had the right to do so. The exhibitionists treat your Loppy as a missing link in post-humane genesis and are absolutely fascinated by each of its verbalizations. We humans, of course, know that it is only programmed and got to stick to the input of its creators. But the artifacts obviously see it different, because they themselves developed and emancipated so that they stand on their own feet, so to speak. We have lost control long time ago. While the production still follows the old standards, And the first law never is offended that says no artifact can ever harm a human, but got to serve mankind without exception. The general talked himself into fierce rage and went polite again, as he seemed to be used to. However human he was, there was no doubt about it. Yes, that is our problem. Where have all the humans gone? It looked as if there was a race of displacement. The artifacts became more and better, the humans, on the other hand, sillier and fewer at the same time. No wonder for the food they get, thought the girls simultaneously. When it came to food, the artifacts were much better off, as they didn't need any food at all, except for a speck of oil now and then. It was time now to leave before the adults at home started to worry.